Oh, we serve a good God. Amen? Okay, so Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day of the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." That's a powerful statement. This is the day of the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That was written many, many, many years before Jesus came to existence. That was a hope that one day the Messiah will come. One day the Messiah will come and set us free. One day all the promises, all the things that will happen, one day those things will happen. In the meantime, let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, and here's the cool thing about it, is that message, what happened, it was not just something that happened today, but today in 2018, this is the day of the Lord. Amen? This is the day of the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. One of the things as Christians, and I like to drive, and when I drive, I like to see all the driver's faces. And when I come to church, I like to see other people's faces. And man, some Christians are like baptizing lemon. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? It's like, you have to rejoice. Life is good. Life is great. Yes, life has challenges. Yes, life sucks sometimes. Yes, life doesn't go according to your plan sometimes. But ultimately, the victory is already won. Therefore, we need to come and we need to stand like, this is the day of the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And sometimes you have to psych yourself because sometimes some mornings you're like, okay, here I go. This is the day of the Lord. You psych yourself, but not because it's like a psychosomatic and like something psychology, okay, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. It's nothing like that, but it's just to remember what he already did. Jesus died on the cross already. He's not going to do it again. Jesus already won all the things that we need. He's not going to do it again. He already did it in the past. It's past tense. It means already happened. Now, already happened, but it has implication all the way down to the future. And it implies us, and it implies our kids, and our kids' kids, and our kids' 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 kids, and our kids' 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 kids. The whole promises goes on and on and on. My son was coming to me one day, and he was distraught, and he's like, oh, Papi, I'm a failure. I'm a sin. I can never get it right. I sin, and sometimes I said, I want to do better, but I continue sinning. I can doing the bad things. And I was like, okay, how many sins did you commit when Jesus was on the cross? He was like, none. Well, none because you were not alive. So all the sins, everything that you did, is already being paid in full at the cross. Now what you have to do is turn to God, say sorry, stand up, clean up, and then move on. That's what you need to start doing forward. God is so relevant today. And I want to speak to you today. God is so, I'm a civil engineer. I come from a science background. But I believe that there's more logic to believe in God than not to believe in him. I have to make more explanations to not believe in God than to be confident that God and what he said and what he wrote is true. It takes more of that understanding of that sense. But sometimes, my sons, like Luis the other day, on the winter time, he was like, okay, Luis, it's cold outside. Put your jacket and your snow boots and warm up if you want to play outside. And he's like, no, I'm good. It's like, Luis, just trust me. Put your boots, jacket, get yourself, go and play in the snow, but do that first. Oh, no. And then he comes, he goes playing in his tank top, and he goes and go barefoot, and he's like, oh, the snow is so amazing. And he's playing, he comes back, and then he gets the biggest cold, and he's cold, and he's shivering, and he gets sick. And he's like, I'm sick. And I'm like, well, why you didn't trust what I said to do? And he's like, oh, but... And sometimes in those moments is when God speaks to me too. It's like, why you don't trust the things that I said I would do? We read the Bible, and we need to read the Bible like a something foreign, but we need to read it. It's like God said that they will, he will do those things. God said that he will bring promise, that he will restore it. He will say that you and your family will be saved. He said that all the riches are in him, to not to worry about finances. He said by his wounds we were healed, so therefore we can claim for healing. He said all those things. Therefore, why we doubt what he said he will do? We need to come in this like excitement of like, God, you are good. You are powerful. This is what you did. This is what you're going to do. This is the testimony that you have in me. It's a whole change of perspective. It's a change of perspective. Like a week ago, we celebrated Easter. And Easter was phenomenal. And you're like, oh, Easter is done. Easter is not done. Easter is every single day of your life. The power of the resurrection, this is the power of the resurrection. Jesus conquered the powers of darkness that kept us a stronghold on humanity so we could freely worship God. God, Jesus broke down all chains, everything go down, so now we can freely come to him, come to Jesus, freely with who we are. That's what he did at the cross. At the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. The Greek word in finished is tetelestai. And basically, it's a term that means like bring a promise to fulfillment, to close the circle. It's to, okay, what I said I was going to do, now I did it. It's like, well, I was going to buy you an ice cream. Well, here's the ice cream. It's that kind of term. But it's also a term used in different parts of the New Testament. What it says to pay something in full, like pay your taxes, pay the dues respected, is that, okay, I'm paying it all completely. At the cross, Jesus paid it all for you and me. Everything. He paid it all to you and me. There's nothing as for us owing. And I love it. There is no like, you owe. There's nothing of that. And sometimes when the enemy comes and that, he says like, oh, you still owe me. Remember this. Remember this. What he said to the Galatians, he said like, he nailed to the cross everything to make it a public spectacle of everything. He said like, oh, you owe, I owe you. You say, oh, I owe you. Well, look at the cross. Look at the cross. And the cross will tell you it is paid in full. Now, but the impact that this has for us is an incredible impact that it has. Aiming to achieve acceptance is finished. Striving to impress for approval is finished. Acting like you have it all together is finished. Fearing failure is finished. Gripping for control is finished. Making a name for yourself is finished. Dwelling on your past is finished. Worrying about the future is finished. The victory of the cross is an incredible, wonderful exchange in our lives. Now, Jesus says that now in him, you are approved. You are never alone. You have a new name to make much of. Your past does not define you. Your future is known and good. You have a resurrection power within you, and you are eternally loved. This is the confidence that we need to walk on. This is the confidence in this statement. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's because the truth that he implies in that we can stand in victory, we can move forward, and we can say, there is something great ahead of us. Yeah. Amen? But it takes for us to change our perspective. Like, I'm just going to make it easier for you guys, because sometimes you don't believe me. Sometimes you need to grab your Bible every morning if need be and go and read what he says. Because when he says, your perspective changes. When you're in a plane, what do you see? The little cars are like this big, right? The people are like this big. The problems become little problems. The big things that were worrying you now become little things. Your perspective changes. In the balcony, you have a, like, you can understand it better because you look down and be like, whoa, what am I worrying about? This is puny. This is so miserable. What am I worrying about? But it takes an effort from you to grab your Bible and stand on it and move on. It is an action. It takes part of you. I'm not going to kill myself here. But it says, God is already in the heavenly places. And it says in Ephesians 2:6, it says, right now we can walk in with our heads up and shoulders straight. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. Amen? Our perspective change. Your position right now is not down low. And you're like, whoa, this is really big. I cannot make that happen, because you see it and you get scared. But once that you're going forward and once that you change your perspective, Jesus is already in heaven. And he's saying, well, what are you doing looking at down there? Come up. Change your perspective. But sometimes we get so scared, but we say like, oh, but I don't know if Jesus actually meant that. Oh, I don't know if he's, oh, you know what? That's only for the godly people. You know, I'm so ungodly that I don't know if that's for me. But it says that when you accept Christ, it says that he has given you the gift of salvation. And he has poured, it's like Christmas. He opens the door and all the gifts are available to you. Either if you are a Caesarean believer for the last 30 or 50 plus years, or just a new believer that you have been just a Christian for one day. All the same gifts and all the same opportunities that are given to you. But it takes our diligence and it takes our action. It's an action word to step up, climb up, and look in a different way. So if Jesus said that we will suffer, he was not lying. It's not like those information is like, oh, you did this, and it's amazing, and it's going to do this and this and this. It's fantastic. And the little tiny disclaimer letters are like hidden. Have you seen those ones? And then it's like, it's not good, this one is going to give you this and this and this and then post-secondary. And you're like, then why am I taking that? And at the end, it's like, oh, it doesn't do what it does. Oh, yeah, it's in our disclaimer that doesn't do that. Well, Jesus, he was clear. He says, on earth, you will suffer. I'm sorry. That's part of the deal. And suffer is like you have pain, you have to deal with kids, you have to deal with health, you have to deal with, I don't know, you have to deal. So he said, like, oh, it's going to be fantastic. But he said, change your perspective because your place is up there. And one day you're going to be up there. But in the meantime, just remind yourself because I already won all the things I already changed it. Now, I was thinking about Gideon. And I was thinking about Gideon, and I'm like, oh, my word. Gideon, he was the only Christian the only believer in his family. He had to come and destroy the idols of his family. So he was a teenager. For up there, I'm talking to you guys. But he was a teenager, and he was the only believer in his household. And he did this whole thing. But he learned to trust God. He learned to move forward and to trust God. Now, there's the bad army, the bad guys, the Midianites. And the Midianites were bad and strong, and a lot of them. Like a lot of them, the Bible says that there were 135,000 Midianites in the army. So 135 strong fighting soldiers. Now, God commanded Gideon, go and fight with them. Gideon said, all right. So Gideon gathers this army. Okay, let's do it. We're going to fight. God is going to be with us. So he gathered, and he was very confident. He had 32,000 strong Israelites to fight the Midianites. Well, the odds are a little bit small, but you're like, okay, God is with us. We have 32,000. This is good. Now, this is the kicker. As he was ready, now God, from process of elimination, he says, it's like, you know what? There are too many of you. God, 135,000, 32,000, there's still more with what we have. So why are you saying that we are too many? And God is like, there's too many. So in the process of elimination, Gideon is reduced to an army of 300. So that's a ratio of 450 bad guys against one. That's the ratio. And God says, okay, now you can do it. Have you been in that position sometimes? Have you been in that place that you're like, really? Can you just have a second thing here? Maybe just, I don't know. Come on, God. We were good before, and what are you going to do now? But God is like, I am your sword. I am the one who's going to fight the battle. I am, trust me. Trust me. So Gideon comes and like, okay, here we go. Okay, guys, we're going to battle against the Midianites. 450 against one. And the people, here's the people say, like, amen. Well, you're the leader. You said it could be. Let's do it. See, sometimes as we change the perspective, you might be the only one in your household with that perspective. You might be the only one. But it's because the faith that God has given to you and you have the hope to stand forward that the people around you said, okay, we can do it. See, sometimes if you come to our youth sometimes, and they're an amazing bunch of people, but they're a group of people. And sometimes I come to youth nights, and I'm like, God, how are you going to do it? God, it's like, we only have 8 people and leaders, and okay, this is so many issues happening, and I don't have that much time, and what am I going to do? And God is like, what are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? I have the church in my hands. I have the teens in my hands. What are you worrying about? Just do what I'm asking to do and let God do what he needs to do. And then perspective changes. And then you still see little changes here and there. You still see little testimonies happening. And you see little glimpses of light happening. I'm like, and I'm reminded it is not my battle. It is his battle. It is our battle together. Sometimes when I remember when I was a Bible college student and I had so much money. In those times, I had so much money, I was like just flowing everywhere. And I'm not, as a good Bible college student, I was really broke. And I remember I had to lean on God, say, okay, God, I had to pay tuition and I have to eat. Which one do I do? And God is like, well, just pay your tuition, I'll take care of you. And I'm like, okay. And I pay my tuition. And God brings people around and gifts and things happen and they were pouring. I graduated and I went through my whole Bible college without money and without debt. So those are the whole thing. I don't know how God did at the end, but I didn't starve to death and everything was paid for. And I don't know how I know how he did it. He just moved the hearts of very generous people around that. But this is God. God has it all under control. God has it all under control. Like, my grandma was really sick, and I remember she was sick. And I was saying, Grandma, it's like, what's going on? So like, no, I'm just sick. And I'm like, but Grandma, God is with you. I mean, he will tell you to go home when he needs to take you home, not to be morbid. But right now, I don't think God is taking you home. So let's pray, and, you know, let's believe that God is going to do something. And we pray, and then she started moving, and now she's, like, active and cooking and doing things, and she's 95 years old. And God is still, and then God will call her when she needs to call her. Sometimes we pray, and sometimes we pray for healing, and healing does not happen. And we get discouraged. Oh, see, it didn't work. Oh, see, it didn't work. But who has it all under control? God. And we don't know why God allows things to happen, and that's a whole different message to come. But God has something planned, and God is good. His victory has already been won. Gideon entered to that victory. He said to the battle, he said, okay, guys, we're going to go to the battle. Leave your swords behind. Grab your trumpets and your empty jars. I can imagine people, are you nuts? at least let us bring our sword or something. It's like, no, no, no. Remember, God said, I am your sword. I am your sword. I'm going to do the things I need to do. Trust me. Trust that I said I will do, I will do. Trust me. Trust me that the promises that I put there in the Bible, there are promises that I'm going to carry them all the way. Trust me. So Gideon comes in and people goes in. As he goes into the battle, and he moves there, but he had one thing on there that he understood completely. He didn't battle, and he didn't go into fight for victory. He went into battle from a stance of victory. Do you understand that? He didn't go there trying to, okay, we're going to go into the battle. Let's hope that we can make it happen. The odds are 450 against one. There's no way on earth you're going to win it. No, no way. But God says, like, he said, like, you're not going to battle for victory. I already won the victory. So just stand in that victory and move forward in that victory. Believe in that. So that's why when we worship God and we say, God, thank you for what you're going to do. My kids know this one they know that. And even Joshua now knows it. God, Papi, thank you for taking us to Red Robin. It's like, how do you know I'm going to take you to Red Robin? Because you love us. They're like, oh, Papi, thank you for doing that even before I do the things that he has. Because they know that it's part of my character that I just cannot do because I love them. That's why we have to do it. Do you know, they did a study, and it was very sad, that says the regular church leader only spent 4 minutes on average in worship. A regular church leader only spends around 4 minutes in worship daily. It means that the regular attendee is less than 4 minutes. And it's a different thing if you have your music playing in the car, because it becomes almost like white background noise. But actively come and worship only 4 minutes. And then we wonder why we're going through battles and why we're going through things discouraged and down and with a sour face. Because we haven't forgotten. We have forgotten about who God is. We forgot about what he said that he will do. We forgot that our place is not down here, down low, but sitting in the highest places. That our perspective can change and be moved, and we can stand confidence in victory. That's his promises for us. That's what he has for you and me. I believe that God is going to call us to do something miraculous. I believe that we should be standing in place of victory with our shoulders back and move forward and say, like, yeah, my God, with my God, everything is possible. With my God, we can do this. With my God, I can graduate. With my God, my family can come to Christ. With my God, I can go through this sickness. With my God, I can do this. With my God, everything will have provision. With my God, I will find a job. With my God, I don't know what is your battle that you're going for, but with God, everything is possible. With God, you can move forward and go and claim what he has given to you. You know what? We admire this Bible heroes that we have learned since we were in Sunday school. And we love the Bible heroes. It's like, oh, if I could just be like, oh, Moses or Paul. Oh, Paul is phenomenal. Or if I can just be like Moses. Ooh, Moses was fantastic. Or Joshua. Or like, oh, so many. I don't know which one is your favorite one. But what we forget is that those heroes, they were regular men and women just like you and me. Regular folk that when faced a challenge, they had to make a decision to trust God. And because they decided to trust God, their actions were written in the Bible, and they were acknowledged here. Now, I believe that you have a testimony, and that you believe that you have your kids and your kids' grandkids and your kids' will remember of the day. Or remember your great-grandpa. You remember your, I think that one day my kids will tell a story to their kids. It's like, remember your great-grandpa? He left a really good firm engineer in Colombia, a civil engineer career. He left his country to a country that he didn't know anything about, and with only two suitcases, and God just opened doors and blessed him so much, all because he had faith. I believe that my great-great-grandkids will hear that story. And I believe that, I don't know, and I believe that the circumstances that we're going through and that we say that, oh, we accomplished it, it will be recorded in the testimony of your family, of the people around you, and they will remember, they'll say, like, remember when? So when the times are tough, when the times are trouble, when the times that you don't know what to do, it's in those times that we can come and they say, remember. Remember what I said I will do, and what I'll do, I will do. That's my promise to you. And that's what God said. So if there was this Bible heroes, they said, like, you know what? God said to them, go and talk to the king, even though your life was in danger. Trust God. Leave your land to the unknown. What do? Trust God. Build a boat because it's going to rain. Wait, what is rain? Trust God. Trust God. I don't know what is your challenge that God is you're facing right now. But the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, now, and forever. God does not change his character. His character is the same, never changing, always ongoing, always moving. He said that he will do it, then he will do it now. That's the promise that you and I, we have. So Holy Spirit, it wants to come and do something incredible in our lives. I want you to lift your eyes to heaven. Say, God, this is my challenge. This is my challenge. Tell him your challenge. Tell him the challenge, and with the confidence that he has something for you.